proclaim the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible broadcast. Today we start a series on angels and how they interacted with people in the Old and New Testaments. Angels, unlike fairies, are not figments of a person's imagination. Angels really do exist. Moreover, the Old Testament and New Testament narratives depict angels as having abilities superior to those of human beings, especially with regard to possessing wisdom and strength. The Hebrew and Greek terms rendered as angel, malach and angelos, respectively, the Hebrew and Greek terms for angel refer to messengers, generically. Such emissaries did not necessarily denote celestial beings. For instance, 1 Samuel chapter 16 mentioned how King Saul sent messengers, malachim, to Jesse, David's father. It's highly unlikely that King Saul dispatched angels for this visit. Likewise, according to Luke chapter 7, John the Baptist sent messengers, angelos, to Jesus Christ. In both examples, such messengers were human emissaries, not angels. God probably created the angels before he created human life. As Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 1, quote, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him," unquote. Nonetheless, angels differ from human beings. Angels, being spirits, do not have a physical body. An angel can remain invisible, as was the case in 2 Kings chapter 6. Or an angel can take on a human body, as seemed to be the case in Genesis 18. Whenever an angel appeared to a mortal, though, that angel usually assumed the form of an adult male. When an angel did take on a human appearance, it sometimes manifested some noteworthy characteristic. In Daniel chapter 10, for instance, that prophet beheld an angel resembling, quote, "a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude," unquote. In the 28th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, that author described the angel who rolled away the stone which blocked the Savior's tomb. Matthew said that, quote, "his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow," unquote. Angels have different habits from men. As spirit beings, angels do not require food or water for sustenance. Furthermore, according to Jesus Christ, angels do not get married, nor are they given in marriage. Angels do not procreate, as human beings do. God's angels do not have the capacity to commit sin. Thus, they have no need of divine redemption. Peter's reference in 2 Peter 2 to the angels that sinned referred to those beings who transgressed during the days of Noah, not any present-day angels. Angels do lack certain privileges that God bestowed upon men, particularly in the spiritual realm. Peter alluded in the first chapter of his first epistle, Peter alluded to spiritual matters as, quote, "things which the angels desire to look into," unquote. Also, angels, not having the capacity to sin, are incapable of experiencing redemption from sin, as human beings are. The Bible contains considerable information about angels and the ministry. We will look at these in our next sessions. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio broadcast.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.